So I had this client one time was one of the most over the top enabling dog moms that I've ever met. And I remember like I was on a mission to show her how different the dog would be the moment that she left the picture. So this dog couldn't be around other dogs. It would attack them, barked at people, bicycles, skateboards, other dogs on walks, couldn't go in the car, was anxious. Like, I mean, the list of things that this dog had, quote, wrong with it was immense, right? So the moment they dropped the dog off, of course, I put it in the yard with 20 dogs, like right away, and sent a video. I mean, they're not even like off my street yet, and here's a video of your dog with 20 dogs. Then I immediately walk the dog. The dog walks perfectly next to me, behind me. Then I start passing dogs. The dog doesn't react to the dogs. Then I go for a car ride, video the dog in the car. No anxiety, right? So I'm just like, bam, 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 hitting this owner with all these videos of the dog being totally fine. So I hit her with all that stuff, and she's like, oh my God, like, this is amazing. Like, what's, essentially, like, what's happening? And I'm like, what's happening is you're not here.
Welcome to the Bubble Lounge. I'm Martha Jackson, and in the Park Cities, there are so many dogs. We really love our dogs so much that they constantly get out. We even have websites dedicated to lost pets in Highland Park and University Park. There's always a dog out there getting lost. And the good thing is, usually we are able to reunite the dog and the owner, and there's a happy story to the end. I myself have had a boxer for the past 12 years, and I don't know if you know much about boxers because we really like golden retrievers and doodle dogs in our neighborhood, but boxers are a really, really funny breed. They're like the class clowns, basically. They're just goofy. They're always full of energy. They act like puppies until the end, and ours is definitely in that situation. She has been a handful, to say the least. And we got her when my son was a toddler, too. So we always joke that they were being potty trained at the same time and they were growing up together. And there was actually a lot of similarities between raising a dog and raising a child. You can apply the same principles to both, it turns out. And I found this out by talking to a really amazing dog behavioral expert last week, Brad Bevel. Brad started his career in corporate America, but he found out quickly that his passion really lied with animals, and he really would have rather spent his time in his days training dogs versus training executives. So joining us today is Brad Bevel, and he's going to share his expertise with us and show us how there's a lot of similarities between raising your children and raising your dogs. And most importantly, if you're having trouble with your dog, more than likely, it may be you. So, Brad, welcome to the show.
Hey, thank you. Did you say Bubble Lounge or Bevel Lounge?
Ah, good one.
Thank you.
Yeah, we'll have to combine forces. We can do a joint podcast
with that.
I like
it. Let's do it.
So, how does a corporate guy like you go from working in corporate America to becoming a dog trainer, behavioral expert, rather? I actually worked in corporate America, so there, I can see a lot of similarities between executives and bad behaved dogs. So I know where this is going.
True. It's a really good question. I think the question to ask is, how did Brad Bevel get in corporate America to begin with? Like, because it's so not who I am,
right,
or what I was cut out to be. I think the path to becoming a dog behavior expert was much more natural than the path of me becoming a corporate person. That story is long. I'll keep it short. But basically, I came along right as the internet was being monetized, but there were no courses on it. No one knew what we were doing. But I was just part of that generation that learned how to build websites and create content and edit video and all that stuff. And there just weren't people out there with degrees. And so I weaseled my way into a really good job at the number eight brand in the world at the time, which was Nokia. And I just climbed the ladder. And I found that work ethic is something that a lot of people don't have.
Sure.
And so literally just by working harder than everyone else, I kind of climbed to what I would consider the top. I mean, I ended up being an executive in marketing and advertising, had a wonderful life, but I wasn't happy.
Right.
And I always had an affinity for animals. I also always thought I was going to be like a Marine or a fireman or a baseball coach or something very tangible and hands-on. And I found myself in boardrooms, you know.
Being bored.
Yeah. Basically like presenting strategy. And I enjoyed it, but it was easy and it was a great living, but I just wasn't happy.
Yeah,
you know?
I hear you. I felt the same way. So I was telling you last week that in the Park Cities, we really love to outsource things. In fact, I even outsourced teaching my kid how to ride the bike.
Wow.
And I hear a lot of people, I know, it's funny, right?
I immediately think back to my dad, who was a Marine, taking the training wheels off and like just pushing me.
That's what my dad did too.
Hitting trees and falling over and crying. And that's how I learned.
That's not how we do it in the Park City.
Okay. Okay. Helmets, so, knee pads,
absolutely.
Elbow pads.
You cannot get hurt in this
place.
Right. So we outsource a lot of things. And I hear a lot of people with new dogs saying they're shipping their dog off to camp for 10 weeks and expecting them to come back these perfect angels. But that's not really how it happens, is it, Brad?
It's not. I get that a lot, obviously. It's a lot of here, fix my dog. And the problem is like that's the same thing saying here, fix my kid. I can't fix your dog. I can give your dog a lot of new life skills, but if you don't ask them to use those life skills, there's not a whole lot I can do when they're not in my presence, right? So a lot of what we do is human education. The dogs live about 800 weeks. I get them for 5. So who has more influence over their behavior, the 795-week person or the 5-week person, right? Mm-hmm. So, yeah, no, you can't outsource raising a kid. And you can't outsource raising a dog.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I know that you have worked with a lot of celebrities, and I would imagine that you have some funny stories working with some of your clients.
Sure. Sure. names or no names?
You can leave names out.
All right. One of my favorite ones, I think, on the human side is I had a client show up one time with a suitcase for the dog.
Yeah.
No joke. Like a huge... like I'm traveling suitcase, and inside the suitcase was every toy, every bed, some clothes, like all this stuff. And I'm just like, what do you think I'm going to be doing with your dog for the next 5 weeks? So I gave the suitcase back and I said, you know, we won't be needing this. And they were a little bit appalled and upset and frustrated with me. But like my job is to make the dog mentally healthy, not make the human feel good. That's my job. And through the process, while like at times that I think sometimes my clients are like, man, he's abrasive. Yeah, I am, because you have to remember me. You have to remember what I say. So I have to leave an impression, right? So I am at times very direct. But with this client in particular, it's like a suitcase for your dog to go somewhere to learn, like to become healthier mentally is just bizarre. And that's part of the problem.
Yeah. I was on a flight one time coming back from Hawaii, and it was, you know, all night long, and there was a woman that dressed up her little dog in pajamas. How do you feel about people that treat their dogs like babies, like put them in baby Bjorns, the strollers, dress them up in outfits?
I feel like you're calling somebody out right now.
No, I see this a lot with the little frou-frou dogs.
I'm cool with it if the dog's balanced.
Uh-huh.
I mean, go on our Instagram feed. You're going to see dogs in all sorts of costumes. We go to studios and shoot them. I think it's hilarious. I think it's funny. I think it's a beautiful thing to celebrate your dog. And you know, I have artwork all over my place that has dogs dressed up.
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with dressing your dog up. There's something wrong with using human psychology on your dog. There's something wrong with not fulfilling your dog. There's something wrong with not giving your dog a social position in the family that they're comfortable with. I don't care what you do in terms of dressing him up, taking pictures, Facebook, Instagram accounts, whatever, but is the dog balanced? Is the dog healthy mentally and physically?
Okay. Did you know that there is a man that takes a rooster in a stroller on the Katy Trail?
I did not know that.
I haven't seen him in years, but
that's a great fun fact.
Funniest thing you've ever seen. It's awesome.
Did you know that I had a rooster as a kid named Gaga?
Gaga?
Yeah.
Why Gaga?
Because I was trying to say rooster and I said Gaga. And so that became the rooster's name.
Oh my gosh, that's great.
Before Lady Gaga.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I was thinking it was like, probably before her.
So
time.
I'm assuming, well, I'm 45. Yeah. So yeah, before, but definitely before Lady Gaga. And I'm assuming she took her name from our rooster.
From the rooster. Yeah. Yeah, I could see that. Yeah, definitely.
For sure.
So I used to show horses, and okay, sometimes I would get really nervous before a big show. Yeah. My horse would pick up on that energy, and a lot of times he didn't perform his best.
That's right.
And dogs are the exact same way. They feel our energy.
Fully.
So why is the environment and our energy so important to a dog?
Animal. Don't even say dog. I mean, energy is everything. Even in the human world, like, I don't know about you, but I remember when my dad would come home from work, I could feel the room change.
It totally changes when the dad comes home.
Yeah, and you could tell whether he had a good day or a bad day, and that's just energy. And there's nothing wrong with it. I mean, he, you know, he's just a human being who's walking in carrying the energy that from that day, right? But you could tell immediately with him whether or not he had a good day. And I think for us to either ignore that fact or deny that fact is doing our dogs a disservice. And not just our dogs, I mean, whatever animal you have, whatever beings you have, children, your spouse, like, energy affects everything.
Sure.
And it's no coincidence that our most anxious clients bring us the most anxious dogs.
Right. And you
know, most fearful clients bring us the most fearful dogs.
And I see the exact same thing with parents. That transfers down to the kids. Like,
100%.
Anytime I see a certain behavior in a kid, it's mimicking the parent.
Totally.
There's really a lot of similarities between, and I know a lot of people will be offended by this, but there's a lot of similarities between raising children and raising dogs.
100%, there's similarities. And if they're offended by it, then they're just denying Mother Nature. I mean, be offended. I don't really care. The bottom line is raising a dog is very similar to raising a child. I'm working on a book right now called How to Raise Your Kid Like a Dog. And, you know, if you really, like, look at it, I mean, where do infants sleep?
In a crib.
Which
in a crate.
Has bars. And it's designed to keep them safe.
Uh-huh.
Do you control what your infant eats and when they eat it? Of course. Do you control how much screen time your kid gets? Do you control who they hang out with, where they go? Do you watch them when they're at the playground? Do you, like, we control everything about our children. But when it comes to dogs, we just want to turn them loose and then call someone like me when they do something we don't like, but right, we're not giving them the life skills they need to make proper decisions. And it takes 25 years to raise a kid.
Mm, right.
It takes like 2 years to raise a dog.
Uh-huh.
But no one wants to put in those 2 years.
Yeah.
That's why they call me.
That's an excellent point. Yep. Yeah. So a lot of dogs were adopted during this past year and a half during COVID. A lot of people took that on, and you're starting to see a lot of them go back to the shelters because the owners feel like the dogs aren't behaving well or aren't a good fit for their family. So what do you think about that?
Man, I'm conflicted. So it's a beautiful look, as a dog lover who's committed my life to dogs, I thought it was one of the most beautiful things in the world to see the shelters empty.
I mean,
part of what I do is matchmaking. So I match make the right dog for the right family. And I really struggled during quarantine doing that service because there was no inventory. Mm-hmm. There were no dogs in shelters and rescues, and I don't really go to breeders, right? So I really struggled finding dogs for some of my clients. And it was like frustrating for me, but also a beautiful thing because so many dogs had homes, right? So I was super excited about it. And then, of course, my brain starts going, okay, what's the normal human pattern? And it's the normal human pattern is when something gets too tough, we give up.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm like, all right, it's just a matter of time before the shelters fill back up again,
right?
And that's kind of what's happening now. And what's sad about it is literally all it is education. Like, if I had a bigger platform, if I could get the TV show and the books, deals and all the stuff, and we could get the information out there, we could save so many more dogs. I don't want to save dogs by training one dog at a time or six dogs at a time, whatever it is. We have to educate human beings on how to live with different species so that they can keep them happy and healthy and in their home. A buddy of mine named John Flores has a rescue called I Pity the Bull, and which is great.
That's if an you're awesome
a,
name.
Yeah, if you're a Mr. T fan. And he has a T-shirt that he sells that says, save a dog, keep yours. And that is literally all that needs to happen, because shelters and rescues are not full of dogs from the street. They're full of dogs that humans have given up on.
Right, yeah.
And so if everyone would just educate themselves on dog psychology and fulfill their dogs and keep them in their homes, there would be no need for shelters.
Well, I just heard an interesting term that I'd never heard before is failed foster, which sounds it doesn't completely make sense to me, but I get it. So tell everyone what that means.
Foster fell means you intended to foster a dog, which means you bring them into your home, help them through any medical issues they have, behavioral issues they have, and then you find them the right home. That's what a foster is supposed to do. But foster fail is when you keep the dog,
which is a good
fine.
Thing.
Now, it is a good thing as long as it doesn't limit your ability to help more dogs. So when you foster fail and then you go, oh, I can't foster anymore, now we have a problem, because we're going from helping maybe hundreds or even thousands of dogs over a lifetime to helping one, which good. That one dog found a home, right? But as a foster, your job is to help as many dogs as you can help.
Right.
And so when we foster fail, which, by the way, I have done a few times. I just recently did it with a little dog that I named Rooster. She's the sweetest little thing.
What is it with you and the roosters?
That's a good point. So I named her Rooster after Rooster Cogburn, which is a John Wayne character. And I'm a big John Wayne fan. That's a whole other conversation. Yeah, there's nothing wrong with foster failing as long as it doesn't limit your ability to help more dogs, you know.
Do you see a surge of adoptions of, like, certain breeds when a movie comes out, like right now,
yes.
Dalmatians, because Cruella just came out?
Right.
And do you see them being adopted more than others, or there's a high demand for them?
100%. So you can go back to, depending on how old our audience is, you can go back to Lassie.
Yes.
And even Ren 10 10.
Uh-huh.
And what you saw back then was Shelties and Collies, right? Lassie was a Collie. Collies and then German Shepherds. And that explosion created a lot of breeding. And when that happens, then you start to see the genetics get diluted, and they get worse and worse. So
right.
that particular breed always starts to get worse. Mm. Dalmatians, I mean, I don't really do breed generalizations.
Uh-huh.
I just look at the animal in front of me.
Sure.
I don't really care what the breed is. But I mean, I got to tell you, like, Dalmatians are difficult.
I've heard that.
And it's not the breed, it's the breeding. You know?
Yeah, I've heard they're kind of overbred, right?
Big
to
time.
Get more spots.
Yes. And then you take, you know, German Shepherds after Ren 10 10, and the same thing happened. I mean, it's rare for us to see a balanced German Shepherd, like really rare. And then you take Border Collies. Border Collies are brilliant dogs, and they started using them in every commercial because
mm-hmm.
they're so brilliant, right?
Yeah.
Trainers started using Border Collies because they're so easy to train. So now all of a sudden they're in all the commercials, and now Border Collies are overbred.
Got it.
And they no longer can herd sheep like they're supposed to. And currently we have massive, massive, massive overbreeding of a couple of breeds, one being anything doodle.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. To the point where, like, the dogs we're getting are a little bit, like, their instincts just aren't that good, honestly. Like, they don't have good dog instincts
yeah.
because they're being overbred.
Yeah, they're combining everything with poodles right
yes.
now.
Yes. And then there's a couple others. I won't go into it, but I'll just tell you that whenever I know they come in, I know what's going on.
Yeah.
And it's genetic.
Sure.
It's not even really behavioral.
So, Brad, you look like a rock star or a movie star. You literally just put your sunglasses on so we could liven things up in here.
You're not supposed to say that.
And you have tattoos.
Yeah.
And you look like somebody that's in a band or something. And I hear that you have a TV show in the works.
Yeah, so there's been a few production companies that have approached us over the last few years. And the last one that did, I felt really good about. And so we did move forward, sign an agreement with them, and they're pitching us to networks and streaming services. And we're super excited about it because, again, like, my mission is human education. I can't train enough dogs to fix the problem.
Right. You really want to get the word out to the masses.
Yes, totally. And I love entertainment. I mean, I love TV. I love doing this. I love anything where I can talk about something I'm passionate about, which is you know, obviously dogs and leadership too. Like, I do a bunch of corporate leadership talks and training and things like that. And I love to communicate with human beings.
Mm-hmm.
I think one thing people don't understand, everyone thinks I'm like a dog guy. I'm a human guy. I love humans like that. I like to transform human beings. The dogs are just the vessel, you know. So yeah, I hope the TV thing works.
I bet it will. You definitely have that presence, and yeah, I can definitely see you on TV. Any idea when that might happen? It's just all in the works.
The contract is a year, so we'll see. I don't know. I think sometime over the next, hopefully, whatever, 8 months, 9 months now, something will land. And dog content is so hot right now. I mean, there's new shows coming out on every streaming service. There's new shows coming out on major networks. I mean, dog content seems to be on fire. I know Cesar Millan has a new show coming out this fall. So I think, fingers crossed that it happens.
So you were talking about corporate training. What types of things do you cover?
Leadership. I mean, everything I teach from a dog psychology perspective can be applied to human beings, whether it's raising a kid or it's leading a team. And when I was still an executive, I used dog psychology to build my team and motivate my team and keep my team loyal and together. And so those principles apply to so many different things. And I spoke to one of the largest law firms in the country a couple of weeks ago, and then I just did a big talk for Fidelity Investments. So it's about trying to help people. You take executives and you try to make coaching approachable, because a lot of times someone in that position has a little bit of, no offense, but an ego. And so
very much so.
Dogs are a beautiful vessel for teaching. And long term, what I would really love to do is just corporate leadership training, because as someone who was in corporate America for 18 years, I want corporate people's lives to suck less because the executives and the leaders of the company know how to lead properly.
Right.
And if I can use animals as a vessel to do that, then that's what I want to do. I feel like that's my gift. And yeah, I don't know. I have a heart for people, and there's a lot of people who are never going to run a company, and they're going to have to work for executives, for leaders.
Yeah.
And so I want the leaders to know how to lead the team.
So I used to do event planning, and I would travel all over the country with Citigroup, and we'd have really big retreats, sales incentive meetings, and we would hire speakers exactly like you.
Yeah.
And sometimes the sales teams would go out a little too late in Las Vegas and come dragging into the meeting. Didn't feel so great.
Sure.
Do you have any funny stories of something like that happening at one of your conferences?
Yes. I don't know how much I can share.
You can leave names out.
Mostly they involve me, so I don't know. Oh. I don't know that I want to share that stuff.
I know. Vegas is the worst place to go for a meeting.
Think about this. All right. So, I mean, you said I have tattoos, and I look like a band guy. I am a band guy. I'm a musician. I've been in bands for a long time.
What is it that you don't do? You do everything.
And let's just say that when you have a 25-year-old punk rocker with a mohawk and black fingernails that has a $10 million budget and is globally running digital marketing for a business unit within the number 8 brand in the world, stuff happens. Stuff happens.
I can use my imagination.
Exactly.
I can only imagine what you were up to.
Yes.
Well, I'm excited about your show to come out. Everyone look for that. We'll definitely post that when we know more. And tell everyone how they can find your book.
The book is in the works still. Okay. Yeah. So there is an ebook on the walk, and I'm going to continue to put out more ebooks, to help people. There's like 7 or 8 things that people need to do immediately with their dog. And I'm writing ebooks on all 7 or 8 of those things. The first one is called The Walk. It's on the website. We have the leashes we use. We have the raised beds we use. We have all sorts of products on the website. So go there, beveldogbehavior.com. Follow us on Instagram if you want free, advice and coaching on how to raise your dog. It's a great resource. And then, of course, YouTube as well, where we put all our training videos and things like that.
Perfect.
Yep.
So what are 3 takeaways we can give everyone of helping out with their dog?
Fulfill. Number one is, if the dog's not fulfilled mentally, physically, and the heart, so body, mind, heart, if the dog is not fulfilled, and listen, I've never met a client that didn't fulfill the heart. All right. Like, there's plenty of affection and plenty of treats and fun and play and excitement. So the heart usually is not an issue, but most of our clients are not fulfilling the body and the mind. So we have to challenge the brain. And a great way to challenge the brain is by giving it jobs. Most jobs have a set of rules, right, around them. So to make it simple, create more rules in your home. so easy. You don't have to get frustrated or angry with your dog if they mess up. You just keep teaching, right? But rules are what makes baseball more strategic. It's right. What makes baseball more complex. Because in baseball, you're not sprinting around, running around all the time. Like, you're standing most of the time. But what makes baseball draining are the rules and then the umpires who follow through on those rules, right? So give your dog more rules at home. Just make them up. Just give your dog something to do. So that way, when you give affection, you're given affection for a reason.
Okay.
Which is, good job, buddy. Mm-hmm. You did it. You did the rule, right? The second thing is physical fulfillment. People don't walk their dogs enough. Like, the most beautiful thing in the world is just going on a walk with your dog. Leave your phone at home. Get off conference calls. Get off your email. Don't call your girlfriend and talk about whatever drama's going on. Like, be with Mother Nature.
Okay.
And I would argue that one of the reasons human anxiety is at an all-time high is because we aren't with Mother Nature enough.
I would agree 100%.
And that is something that human beings need. Like, we need to be with Mother Nature. We need to connect to the earth. And a dog is a great way to do that. And so if you can just leave your phone at home and walk your dog, it can have just incredible benefits, not only for the dog, but for you as a human being.
Yeah, that's great advice, because I always take my phone with me and I answer stuff along the way. So I think that's an excellent piece of advice.
Leave it home. Leave it home. Be with your dog. Like, your dog wants to be with you.
Yeah.
And you're not there if mentally you're somewhere else. You are not there. So body, mind, heart. And again, most people fulfill the heart. So I like to focus on body and mind. So that's the number one thing, is fulfillment. And then number two is going to be just being really aware of your energy and how you feel when you're interacting with your dog. A lot of my clients live in extreme lands. They live in this extreme affection place, and they live in this extreme frustration place. And where the magic is in life, I don't care if it's dogs or it's children or it's your career, the magic is always in the middle. That's where balance is. That's where contentment is. That's where happiness is. That's where love is. It's in the middle. That's the beauty of anything, is in the middle. And I feel like we need to, like, stop being so extreme with our dogs. So that's number two. And then number three is, remember that you're raising and you're not training.
Okay.
Be patient, right? Be patient. Like, take the time, do the reps, and just remember that you're raising a dog. You're not training it. And there's no such thing as sending your kids off to some human expert for 5 weeks and then they come back and you don't have to do anything. There's no such thing. And it's the same with dogs. So just be patient, be kind, be loving, be present. Remember to fulfill body, mind, heart, and, you know, enjoy it.
Sounds great. Well, thank you so much for sharing all of your expertise with it. We really appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
That's been another episode of the Bubble Lounge. I'm Martha Jackson, and we'll catch you next time.